We're in the 8th chapter of Mark, the halfway point of the entire gospel. Jesus has been traveling around the Sea of Galilee, visiting villages like Nazareth and Capernaum. He's traveled to Tyre and the Decapolis, lands populated and ruled by Gentiles. Jesus keeps on healing people, casting out demons, and debating with the best religious leaders he can find. Jesus is on the move. So we find him today with his ragtag group of disciples and followers, heading north. They're near what used to be the northern tip of Israel when King David was alive, but it's now a city named after the Roman Emperor Augustus. This city, Caesarea Philippi, is relatively new, but it's the military and governmental hub for the area. It's here where taxes are collected, gathered, and sent to rulers far away. And it's here where there's a large marketplace full of statues and images of the Roman gods and Roman emperors. This is a city that lives, eats, and breathes Rome. It promotes Roman ideals, Roman religion, and faith in a Roman empire that is destined to rule the world. And it's here, at this Roman city, with all the symbols, powers, and images of Rome looking down on the disciples, that Jesus asks, "Who do you think I am?" It's almost unfair, isn't it? I mean, the disciples knew where they were going. They knew that the city is all Rome all the time. They could be anywhere else, but it's here where Jesus speaks. I imagine it's a little like taking an Ohio State fan to Ann Arbor, or a New York Yankees fan up to Boston. It's just not safe. But that's what Jesus does. He takes his friends to an unsafe place, and then tries to get them to admit publicly just who this Jesus is. And so I feel for Peter, because he correctly identifies who Jesus is. He says that Jesus is the Messiah, Jesus is the Savior, Jesus is the one who God has sent into the world to fix what's wrong with it. Peter, out of all the other disciples, has finally put everything together. The healings, the casting out of demons, the feeding of thousands, Peter sees in Jesus' hands, face, and words. He sees God's love and God's power. Peter hears what Jesus is saying. And Peter feels that the kingdom of God has truly come near. So Peter says out loud what only the demons have shared before, that this Jesus is here to change the world. It took guts to admit this. It took guts to say what no one else was saying. It took guts to say, while standing in front of a city that loves Rome, that Jesus is the Messiah, and that this Jesus will undo everything that Rome has done. For Peter, the Messiah is going to build a new kingdom. Right then and there, Peter's imagining a holy throwdown with the armies of God on one side destroying Rome on the other. It took courage for Peter to publicly admit this while standing in front of Augustus' own city. And it probably took even more guts for Peter to try and correct Jesus when Jesus started teaching what the Messiah was actually going to do. And that was nothing what Peter knew. Because Peter, like everyone else, knew that crosses can't destroy the Roman walls surrounding a Roman city. But Jesus knew that crosses can break down the walls that actually matter. When we hear today's text, the meaning shifts depending on where the disciples are. If they're fishing on a boat in Galilee, spending a lazy Sunday afternoon casting lines into the water, Jesus' question has a different tone. It would sound like a group of guys and gals just shooting the breeze without any real care in the world. Peter's statement, Jesus' comments, and Peter's rebuke, it all sounds so abstract when the disciples are in a different place, disconnected from the world around them. But place matters. Jesus chooses to ask this question here at the foot of the Roman Emperor's city. We can imagine the disciples standing there right at the city gates with the eyes of Roman soldiers and the stone-cold glare of Rome's God staring down on them. And that's where Jesus' question is voiced. That's where Peter's words are shared. And so, since place matters, when Jesus says, "Who do you say that I am?" what do we, gathered here at Christ Lutheran Church, in this place, actually hear? And for me, if I'm honest, I really don't know what I hear. During this last week, I've heard these words in all sorts of different places. I've heard them here in this sanctuary, in my office, in my home. I've heard these words at a church in Oakland, at a Costco in Hackensack, and while getting balloons at the Dollar Tree in Park Ridge. These words have snuck up on me while I'm in my kid's bedroom, while I'm sitting in traffic, and while I'm wiping the sleep from my eyes. And I invite you to do the same. To take these words, this bulletin with you, and read Jesus' words in all the different places you find yourself. And try and listen to see just what God is trying to get you to hear. Because since I've heard Jesus' words in a lot of different places, and in a lot of different settings, and in different times of the day, I've heard Jesus' words, and even right now, I don't really know what to do with it. Because Jesus' question is the question. It's the question we're confronted with whenever our kids ask us why we celebrate Christmas. It's the question when our friends ask us why we go to church. It's the question when tragedy strikes and we find ourselves unable to find the words to express why the unfathomable happened. Some days we will be as firm in our answer as Peter. Some days we'll be as silent as the other disciples. And some days we will be like those in the crowd, just watching as this faith thing seems to happen all around us. We will find ourselves in places where the words of faith will come easy. And there will be days when the words just won't come. And that's okay. Because Jesus doesn't ask his disciples or the crowd to understand. He doesn't tell them that they always need to get it. He doesn't tell them that they need to be perfect before they follow him. Jesus tells them instead to take up their crosses. Jesus tells them to deny their assumptions. Jesus tells them to just follow him. Because Jesus doesn't want to be accepted. Jesus wants to be followed. He wants us to go where he goes. He wants us to take seriously the place around us, the neighborhood we live in, the friends we know, and the friends we haven't met yet. Because like those disciples standing at the walls of Caesarea Philippi, we're here in this place with Jesus. And he's calling us to live in this place, to be with those people who are near and far. Jesus calls us to say that the walls of the world aren't the walls that we're going to build or keep up. And that the walls holding up this sanctuary aren't here to protect us from the world, but are here so we can better serve the world. This is why I believe we use this place, this sanctuary, these buildings, and this land to serve people who we will never see and who will never walk through our doors. It's why 1,100 pounds of vegetables and counting from our Genesis garden are feeding neighbors we will never see. It's why in a few hours, 200 of our closest Lutheran and non-Lutheran friends are going to be here to make meals for the Center for Food Action. And it's why our annual trash and treasure sale in May raises thousands of dollars that leave this place and head to serve Christians and non-Christians all over the world. We're invited to be in this place, to be in this community, forming relationships with new people and reaffirming our relationships with those we know. Because Christ wants us here, crosses and all. We might not always know how to answer when Jesus asks who he is, but we can trust that God, through those silent disciples, that ragtag crowd, and the imperfect Peter, we can trust that through them, God loved the world. And we can trust that God, through people like us, with our flaws, our quirks, our inability to always get Jesus right and to understand just who he is, we can trust that God, through imperfect sinners like us, is going to keep loving the world through our hands. God's going to keep doing that in ways that we don't even know. And that's because Jesus has a way of bringing us to the places in our world with walls that need to come down. And once there, we're called, like the crowd, like the disciples, like Peter, who almost gets it right. We're called to pick up our crosses and follow Jesus straight on through. Amen.